Monday to May 16, broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. We're glad to be coming to you by means of Christian radio. And we'd like to invite your attention to 1 John chapter 4 as we're looking at the characteristics of a godly life, and that life being filled with the love of God. Not only filled with the love of God, but demonstrating the love of God as well. Father, bless us with thy word. Speak to my heart. We thank thee, dear God, that we love thee because thou didst indeed first love us. Thank you that, Lord, it's you and your great love that makes life really worthwhile. You loved us so much that you sent your Son into this ungodly world to save the ungodly likes of us. Thank you, Father, for your great love, wherewith you've loved us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we have used as a springboard text, I guess you would say, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. 1 Peter chapter 4 is given over to preparation for suffering, for the actuality of suffering, and that we're not to think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try us as though some strange thing happened unto us. We are to consider the Lord Jesus Christ himself as our example. But as the Holy Spirit is giving those wonderful instructions, he lifts something out and above it all. He said, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Number two, the word charity. Translated, charity is the word agapo, or comes from the word agapo, agape, which means godly love. This is the love that emanates from God himself. And God be praised that we have the privilege to participate in, to receive that love, and to demonstrate that love as well. God set the example for us in loving this old world and giving his Son. Solomon wrote that hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sins. John wrote that in the Gospel of John, that love is our identifying mark as a child of God. Little children, he said, yet a little while am I with you, you shall seek me. As I said unto you, whither I go, you cannot come. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And then we are to be kindly affectionate one to another. Paul writes about this in Romans chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. We are to love not just in word, but in deed and in truth. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And of course, as we've said many, many times in this series, that brings us to two chapters that the Holy Spirit of God dedicated primarily to God and God's love, that being 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 1 John chapter 4. We're in 1 John chapter 4 right now, so if you'll turn with me to where we left off on our last broadcast, 1 John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 16. 1 John 4 and verse 16. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, John says, we have known and believed. Well, what is it, Brother John, that we have known and believed? He said, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Well, how did we receive that love? We received it when the Spirit of God spoke to us about our need for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son that we can be saved. But he speaks to us of his love not only in salvation, dear friend, but he speaks of his love in sanctification, in service, in sustenance. You know, we don't have a single thing in this world. There's not a single talent that we've got that we did not receive from God. The Bible makes that clear. Paul writes about that, does he not? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? And if thou didst receive it, how dost thou, you know, why do you boast as if you didn't receive it? There are no real self-made people. If there's any good thing at all, it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. And here we go back to the statement again. We read it in verse 8, and now we read it again in verse 16. God is love. Remember back in verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we tried to make this clear when we were back in verse 8. God is love, but love itself is not God. Can I say that again? God is love, but love itself is not God. God is love, God is righteous, God is holy, God is just. All the good things that you can ever think about, read about in God's word, God is. God is love. But dear friend, there are people who will try to twist this and say basically, well, if I love, then this is of God. Now, dear friend, the love that God has is pure love. And God is love incarnate. And any love that emanates from him is going to be a godly-type love. And we should never, ever try to identify our Lord with some type of brotherly love or some type of sensual love or anything like that. I hope this is clear, dear friend. I'm not trying to sound sarcastic. But I'll tell you, I thank God for his love. His love that brought salvation down. His love that drew salvation's plan. Thank God for his love that's been bestowed on us even before the foundation of the earth. All right, God is love in verse 16, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Now, this is about as clear as it can be, is it not? If we're saved, we're going to be dwelling in love. We're not saved because we're dwelling in love, but if we are saved, we're going to dwell in love. And the Bible says, he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I know I might sound like a worn-out record sometime, but it is the love of God that makes life worthwhile to live. It is the love of God that gives us an opportunity to enjoy life here and hereafter as well. What a wonderful thing it is to know that there's such a thing as the love of God in this old, cold, hard-hearted world where there's so much hatred, strife, bitterness, division, and what have you, but to know that the love of God is real. And by the way, to know that you out there, my friend, I'm speaking to in radio land today, maybe you say, I don't know anything of the love of God, and I don't think I have an opportunity. Oh, dear friend, you're wrong about that. Remember this, God so loved the world, and you're included in that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God's door of salvation is open to you. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's not a single person in this world that has not sinned and come short of the glory of God. And my friend, you don't have to live a miserable, despicable life. You can know the peace of God that passeth all understanding if you're willing to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And again, he's opened the door of salvation to this whole undeserving world. What a wonderful Savior we have. And by the way, if it was just a matter of justice, we would never be saved. But I'm so glad for these wonderful truths that we read about in Psalm 85 in verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Oh, that's what you have in our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, what does the truth declare about us? That we've all sinned and come short of his glory. What does the mercy of God prove? That God loved us and gave his Son. And then this matter of righteousness and peace. And by the way, that's always the right order. Righteousness always precedes peace. There's a people today, a world today, that says they're looking for peace, but they despise righteousness. They'll never know peace until they have first of all come to know righteousness. Melchizedek, he was known as the king of righteousness. He was the king of peace. And I believe that he was a theophany, an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Been good to be with you for another day of broadcasting. Hope you can join us tomorrow. In the meantime, May God be pleased to make each of us a channel of his blessing. May we be busy praying, sowing the precious word of God, watering it, and I trust reaping. Please join us next broadcast if you can.